This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll take you to the Answers in Genesis Super Conference as we talk with Ken Ham and Dr. Mark Coppinger about God's creation. Also, Fox News contributor Todd Starnes is back with the story of an Air Force chaplain's speech being censored by the Department of Defense. But first, we're joined by Representative Steve Stockman as he updates us on a bill that's pending before Congress. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he introduces our topic.
Well, we're coming up on the first anniversary of the U.S. consulate being attacked in Benghazi, Libya. And there are still many questions about what really happened that September night. Americans are becoming impatient and the trust in our government is diminishing. But we can be thankful that there are people in office who are pressing for answers and attempting to hold the Obama administration responsible for their lack of action. Our next guest, Congressman Steve Stockman of Texas, held a press conference this afternoon on Capitol Hill introducing his petition, to demand a vote on the House floor on Frank Wolf's bill, H.R. 36, to have a select committee and panel to thoroughly investigate the attack. Congressman Stockman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, give our listeners a quick overview of the press conference this afternoon and how the turnout was, and did you accomplish what you sought to do with it?
Well, to give context to why we had to go the route we're going is we had two hearings in which the witnesses that were asked to come before our committees were somehow altered or rejected to come. And we're realizing we're becoming, on a year anniversary, we're not getting the answers either from the White House or the State Department. And as you know, Frank introduced a bill to call for a special prosecutor. And that's exactly what we're doing, is what's called a discharge petition of a rule, which hasn't really been done since 1934. It's a little complicated. But what happens is you put the paper down on the floor of the House, and then different congressmen sign on if we get enough signatures, that it forces the speaker to appoint a special prosecutor. And I think, given that four Americans shed their blood and sacrificed for this nation, we owe nothing less than to find the truth and to find out why it is that this administration has been so adamant in blocking any kind of investigation.
Well, it's troubling, Congressman Stockman, that it's not just the Obama administration that you're having to deal with, but it's the GOP leadership that's refusing to move forward. And that's what this discharge petition is about, forcing them to allow a vote on whether or not there should be this select committee.
Yeah, I call it forcing them, the leaders, to lead. This is something that is long overdue, quite frankly. And anybody that's listening to your show, if you can tell your congressman to sign on to the discharge petition, it's down at the front near the well of the House. They can sign it. And if nothing else, we're going to continue to put pressure on our speaker. And if need be, we'll increase the pressure even more. But right now, we had, as you mentioned earlier, we had a press conference. We had over 1,000 vets, special forces vets, who signed a petition for the hearing. We also had Alan West and many others come talk at the press conference. Great coverage. But now we're asking your fine listeners to get involved, because the blood was shed and there's no one accountable for the lost life in Benghazi.
And folks, that number to the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121, where you can get in touch with your member of Congress. If you don't know who that is, just give them your zip code and they'll connect you. How has the GOP leadership responded to your efforts, Congressman Stockman?
I think I'm off their Christmas list. They have all looked at me, but Frank Wolf, who is in leadership in some ways, has taken a bold stand, and he didn't come to the press conference, but on the floor today, he was looking at me with a pretty big smile. He wants it to go forward. Even Michael McCaul, who's the chairman of the committee, is going to sign the discharge petition too. So we have movement, but without really the grassroots and your listeners, we won't get that done. So we're excited that you're allowing us to speak with your show today.
Well, we've had Congressman Wolf on a number of times talking about H.R. 36. And what is the status? How many members have signed on to his measure as co-sponsors?
Well, I'm one of the co-sponsors. It's 161, which is, as you know, over two-thirds of the Republican conference. And the speaker said that in due time, he thinks that that time hasn't come yet, that he's going to appoint a prosecutor. I don't know what you need. I think the time that the citizens of America were murdered on September 11th, and we had a president who, by the way, the only person in jail I know is the guy that made the videotape in L.A.
But, right, right.
It's unfortunate, and that was a really time to call a special prosecutor. We really need that kind of enforcement, because they're not coming before our committee. They're being eliminated.
All right, Congressman, we're up against the break. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will keep our folks posted on this.
Appreciate it.
If you'd like to encourage your member of Congress to vote on Congressman Wolf's bill, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the action link at the top of the page. While you're there, take a look at our new Stand t-shirts and support the efforts of the Family Research Council by taking a stand. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at ValuesVotersSummit.org. That's ValuesVotersSummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to ValuesVotersSummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Ken Ham to discuss the impact of secularism on the country. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
I'm in Tennessee this week. I've been speaking at the Answers in Genesis Mega Conference in Sevierville, Tennessee, and I'm joined by many others who have a passion for sharing the answers to the questions many have about the Bible. And here with me at the conference is the president of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Great to be with you.
You joined me here at the launch of the program on the conference on Monday, and here we're midweek. How's it going so far?
Actually, it's going very well. I think people are getting really fired up. You know, there's a lot of motivated people here who recognize that there are really serious problems in this nation, and they want to know how can they be equipped to go out, defend the Christian faith, deal with the loss of these Christian liberties and so on that we see in this nation. And so that's what we're doing through a variety of speakers, and the materials that we have here is really equipping Christians. You know, if Christians really know how to answer questions, defend their faith, what we find is most secularists can't really defend their faith very well. They end up resorting to name-calling a lot, is what we find.
Well, yeah, they do. They shout louder.
Exactly.
Just to try to shout you down,
yep.
Or they just don't want to have the debate at all.
And you're correct. And then the other part of it is, too, I think a lot of Christians are sort of a little bit intimidated and thinking that, you know, if we talk about Christianity in the Bible, then we're being religious, whereas these atheists, well, they're really being neutral because they're not, you know, bringing in religion. But the very reason that they want things that are Christian removed, because they want to impose their anti-God religion of atheism.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. And as Christians in America, we have every right to bring our worldview to the table in shaping the policies for this country.
Absolutely.
There's no reason that we need to apologize or in any way step back from our biblical worldview.
There's really a conflict between two worldviews.
You know, you're right. You made that point Monday night. I agree with you. 100%.
And that's what's going on. Christians need to understand when these atheists want, you know, nativity scenes out of public places, crosses out of public places, or someone who's writing about some Christians removed because they say, you know, that's imposing your religion on the culture. Well, why are they doing it? They want their religion
right.
imposed on the culture.
It comes down to two worldviews. It's either it's a biblical worldview, or as you say, a secular or a human worldview. It's either what God can do or what man can do,
and that's the foundation: God's word, man's word.
Yeah, and you made that point. You made that point very good on Monday night, and you've had a variety of speakers. I think that have been equipping the Christians who are here to not only address the current issues. You went through really a great chronology of what this administration has done, but giving them, there's speakers that have been giving them the biblical foundation and speaking from that foundation, which is our source of strength.
Absolutely. We're helping people understand how do we develop a real Christian worldview, starting with God's Word, and then how we can also use observational science, operational science that confirms God's Word, and also pointing out the way in which really generations of people have been brainwashed by the culture. I mean, they really have. They've been indoctrinated.
That point's been made.
For instance, Dr. Georgia Purdom was speaking this morning on genetics. She has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State. And, you know, this business about humans and apes are supposedly 98% similar. She was showing the way in which they actually calculate that. They look at the bits of the genome that are similar, and that's what they use. They ignore the bits that don't match. I mean, it's incredible. Most people don't realize that. We have to go right back into the original resource and see the biases that are there and realize, wait a minute, they've already assumed we're similar, therefore they only select the bits that are similar, and then they tell people we're similar. How is that for a good reason?
And will this information be available later through DVDs or online? Will people be able to tap into this?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been live streaming all the sessions, and we're going to make them available on our website for download and for viewing. In fact, the keynote address I gave, where I went through and that chronology about this administration, what they've done in regard to the gay marriage issue, abortion issue, what's happening in America and so on, that's already available on YouTube. It's already available through our website for free viewing. So yes, these will all be made available as time goes on.
And you can find out more about that by going to the website tonyperkins.com and following the links over. Ken, we only got 2 minutes left, but I want to ask you this question. A new survey shows that 62% of Americans believe God helped create humans.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, whenever I see these surveys and they're reported on, you really need to, I like to go and try to find out the exact words that they're asked. Because if I was asked, did God help create humans? You know, I would say no.
Right, because he didn't help.
He created humans.
And that's what I think, this goes back to one of the points that has been talked about here, is this theistic evolution, that somehow we're trying to meld evolution with biblical creation. You can't do it.
No, you can't take a secular view that's based on naturalism and try to add it into the Bible and reinterpret the Bible. In fact, as I say to people, you know, the Bible makes it clear, disease, death, suffering is a consequence of sin. If you believe in evolution, you've had diseases like cancer, brain tumors, as you see in the fossil record, all this death and suffering millions of years before man. You can't match those two together. And really, what a lot of people are doing is no different to what happened with the Israelites. Take the pagan religion of the age to explain life without God and try to somehow marry it with God's
But it does tell me people have not found the answers they're looking for in man's description and man's wisdom.
You know, it's interesting to say that, because in the church, you've got all these different views, you know, gap theory, progressive creation, theistic evolution, whatever it is. And you know why they have all these different views? Because none of them work.
That's right.
The only one that works is God's Word.
Ken Ham, thank you so much for being with us, and a great conference. Thanks so much for letting us be a part of it.
Hey, thank you.
You can find out more about Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis when you visit us at tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider partnering with us as we defend faith, family, and freedom around the country. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
Some people tell us that marriage redefinition is inevitable. They tell us that we're on the wrong side of history. But we respectfully disagree. History is not yet written. We are the marriage generation, children of the 1980s who understand that marriage is a lasting promise between one man and one woman. We believe a state has a compelling interest in upholding the meaning and purpose of marriage because marriage is the beginning of family, and family is the foundation of society. We're millennials who remain committed to the meaning and enduring value of marriage. Neither court rulings, nor elections, nor cultural pressures will dissuade us. Our passion is to revive a marriage culture and to shape the way our generation thinks and talks about marriage. We aren't indifferent, we aren't giving up. We are the Marriage Generation. To find out more about us, visit marriagegeneration.org. Again, that's marriagegeneration.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins talks with Dr. Mark Coppinger from Southern Seminary in Kentucky about the need for better Christian apologetics. Here's Tony as he introduces our guest.
Dr. Coppinger serves as a professor of apologetics at Southern Theological Seminary in Kentucky. He is a managing editor of the online Kairos Journal. In addition to teaching, Mark has been a pastor, author, and infantry officer. He joins me now right here at the Answers in Genesis Mega Conference. And he's going to be the keynote speaker tonight, right?
I'm speaking on bioethics tonight and inerrancy in the morning.
Two very important topics for the attendees here at the Answers in Genesis Conference. Let's talk for a moment about apologetics.
Sure.
How is that lacking in the Christian world today?
Well, you know, it's frustrating in that the lost man is not going to receive Christ. In other words, we can't hope to be as popular as Coca-Cola or something like that. There'll always be that resistance. But and I think that we can be very discouraged by resistance out in the culture. However, we can do what they did in the early church and just be sure they understand exactly where we're coming from. I remember reading in the early church they were accused of incest because some fellow after church would say to his wife, "Come on, sister, let's go home." And someone would say, "Oh, they go home with their sisters." And then someone would be accused of cannibalism because
right.
they said, "We've eaten the
right.
body of Christ." And so, you know, they may not at the end of the day be totally persuaded, but they can certainly know where we're coming from. So a lot of what we do is just clarify, you know, where we're coming from. Actually, there's a kind of a growth industry in apologetics right now. Great things have happened. Society of Christian Philosophers has turned out people. Evangelicals mm-hmm. are editing books by Oxford and Rutledge. Biola has a big program. Southern has a big program. I'm really encouraged by, you know, a bunch of guys coming up doing apologetics. I think it's a good day.
Well, I think it's by necessity.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, 20, 30 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we you didn't have to defend the faith.
Yes, that's right.
It was pretty much accepted. There was a standard, a moral standard, which was based upon a Christian worldview,
that's
a biblical
exactly
worldview.
Right.
That's been under assault in the last 40 years, and increasingly in the last, I would say, 20 years,
yeah.
intensely in the last 10. And so as Christians, now we have to defend. First, we have to know what we believe, and then we have to give an answer.
Yeah. I mean, there are actually two assaults now. One is the postmodern assault that says that there's no truth at all. And so it's almost like a two-step apologetic. You have to establish that there is truth, and then we have it. And then the other deals with people who say there is truth and Christianity is false.
You know, for those that might be listening that say, wait a minute, what are you apologizing for about being Christians? Explain what we mean by apologetics.
Right. Apologetics comes from the Greek word for defense. In fact, one of the Socratic dialogues is called the Apology, and that's where he's defending himself in Athens. We're defending the faith against skeptics, and we have positive arguments for God's existence, the ontological, cosmological, teleological, moral, aesthetic. It goes on and on. But we're also involved in defending the faith against attacks. Some people say that the problem of evil defeats the faith. How could God be all-powerful and all-loving and let innocents die and so forth? So there are many answers for that.
Well, and that's almost like you kind of take a judo move there. How can you define what evil is?
Yeah, that's
unless there's good.
Yeah, that is true. That's one of the answers, that if there's no contrast at all, we wouldn't have any moral understanding. And there are some people argue that without first-order suffering, you don't have second-order virtues. Like if you don't have impositions and harm, there's no courage, there's no patience. That's part of what we call a soul-making theodicy, that mm-hmm. you need evil to develop the soul. There's a free will defense. There are other arguments. Then we have cultural apologetics. And when Chris Hitchens says, God is not great, religion poisons everything, then we say, well, wait a second. I mean, where is the Nietzsche orphanage? Where is the Bertrand
right.
Russell or A.J. Ayer Special Olympics or something? That atheism cranks out death and ruin and so forth. And we look at, for example, the Judeo-Christian tradition that has produced medicine and science and reasonable government and the arts and so forth, and so we meet them wherever they want to play. And
for the Christian out there who wants a, you know, introductory level of just being able to explain the faith, Maybe they've got a coworker or a family member who is antagonistic and,
right.
and has read a few of these atheists and has a few of those challenges down pat and throws them out. How can they be equipped, best equipped, to defend the faith? And as the scripture says, be able to give an answer for the hope that's within you.
Right. Well, we are enjoying just a bounty of resources. I mean, you can go on the web or you can go to books. I mean, there are books that answer Bible difficulties. You have the Apologetic Study Bible by my colleague Ted Cable. You have great stuff that comes out of Lee Strobel and Bill Craig, and it just goes on and on. So I think... One simple answer is, look, I don't know the answer to that, but let me get back to you. I think I know somebody who knows somebody who knows that. So we have tons of stuff.
There are a lot. It's challenging to sort through all of them because there are so many options out there. And as we were talking about in the previous segment, it's by necessity. As on every front, whether it's in the cultural you talk about on the public policy side. As Christians, I've always said, we don't need to make... apologies for being Christian and wanting to shape public policy, because you look back historically through societies that have embraced a biblical worldview, whether they've subscribed to the personal relationship with Christ, even if they're outside that relationship, they benefit from a society that operates under those biblical principles.
That's exactly right. And you even have what we call the cut flower phenomenon, that when a nation has been full of the knowledge of God and respect for the Bible, and then it loses it, just for centuries, you can still have a little bit of the bloom on the rose because the power is so influential. Yeah. But if you just have some leading lights and thoughtful people, that can be salt and light. You don't have to have the majority.
Dr. Coppinger, thanks so much for being with us, stopping by to talk with us. I'm looking forward to your presentation tonight.
Thank you.
You can learn more about apologetics and how you can be better prepared to defend your faith when you visit us at tonyperkins.com. While you're there, look for our new Stand t-shirts and take a stand with Family Research Council. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
Scientists in Oregon recently announced that they had created cloned human life and then destroyed that life to extract embryonic stem cells. They used the same technique that had created Dolly the cloned sheep, but modified the process. Because this time, they were using human eggs and human cells. Some will celebrate this news, but however sophisticated or well-intended the research, human cloning opens the door to a brave but highly dangerous new world. It also subjects young women to enormous health risks and turns them into a biotech commodity and target for exploitation. But there is another way. Scientists have researched and used ethical stem cell alternatives to help heal patients. Adult stem cells do not require the destruction of human life, but are currently healing over 60,000 patients each year. To find out more about the science and ethics of stem cell research, download our new brochure at frc.org/stem cells.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins and Fox News contributor Todd Starnes take a look at the latest attack on the religious liberty of our military members. Here's Tony as he gets us started.
Well, a chaplain in Alaska was ordered to remove a religious column he had written titled "No Atheist in Foxholes: Chaplains Gave It All in World War II" because it allegedly offended atheists serving on the Air Force Base. The effort was launched by none other than anti-Christian crusader Mickey Weinstein. Well, joining me now with all the details, the man who broke the story, Fox News' Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, how are things going today for you, Todd?
Lord Almighty. I don't know. I get so much hate mail, Tony Perkins. I just don't understand, because I like to think I'm a nice guy.
Well, I don't send you hate mail. I send you mail telling you how much we appreciate you, and I bet there are folks all across this country that appreciate the reporting that you do, because these stories like this out of Alaska would not see the light of day if it were not for somebody like you reporting on them.
Yeah, it's look, these days I get called, if I butter a biscuit, I get called racially insensitive. So I'm sure the atheists are going to be up in arms over our story, but you're absolutely right. This is another incident, another case of these left-wing anti-Christian activists going after chaplains on this Air Force base. Now, just a few moments ago, I received a new response from the Air Force base, and they're defending what they did. They said that that they don't condone, don't advocate any particular religion or belief set, but because the headline offended some of their some of the people there at the Air Force base, they ordered the column removed.
In reading the column, it is more of a historical uncovering of where that phrase "atheist in foxholes" yeah. came from. I mean, it is just over the top that any reference that in any form or fashion could be offensive to Mickey Weinstein, he launches, an attack on the military. In this case, once again, the Air Force.
What I find striking is that it took less than 5 hours from the moment Weinstein complained to the moment that the column was removed. It took all of 5 hours. I mean, this guy really must have some sort of a hotline set up at the Pentagon where he's able to contact these individuals and they're able to act almost immediately. But you're right, Tony, because this is it's basically a column telling the history of that phrase. It's a phrase that President Eisenhower used in a speech in 1954 to the American Legion. And as a result of this, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation came down with a hammer, and they're not satisfied with the column being removed. Now they want the chaplain punished. They want him reprimanded for what they call hate speech.
You know, and that's exactly what we were talking about earlier about the influence that Mickey Weinstein has with the Air Force and that and the military in general, that it's not just wanting an equal playing field for those who have no religion. He literally wants to force those who have a Christian persuasion underground, in this case going directly after chaplains. Where can folks read more about this story?
Tony, we not only have the story, but we were able to reprint the entire essay that the military found so offensive, and that's at toddstearns.com. I really want to encourage folks to go there, check this out, share it, get the word out. This kind of stuff is happening in the United States military under this particular administration.
All right, Todd Starnes, thanks so much for staying on these issues and joining us at the last minute with this breaking news. Appreciate
Glad
it greatly.
Glad to hear it, Tony. Thanks.
We hope that you'll help Family Research Council continue to shed light on these attacks on our religious liberties as we fight for faith, family, and freedom here in Washington, D.C. You can find links to help you do just that when you visit tonyperkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212, or you can partner with us online at tonyperkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.